Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bow down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints' an angel song. Today from God's holy word, as we find it in Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 19, reading to the end of the chapter. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Let's give thanks for this, and let's pray that God will call more today, like Paul. Think again of that last verse. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. The Lord Jesus stated while he was here on earth to pray to the Lord of harvest to send forth labors into the fields which are white under the harvest and where the labors are few. And I fear that that is sadly true today. Many will not believe the word, and others are looking to hear the word, but sometimes cannot find it. Let's pray that God will give what is for his glory, like the Lord Jesus taught us to pray, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray that that will take place because of Christ. As he taught us to pray, we come back to thee, Father, asking in his name that it might be done by thy Spirit, as well as thy reviving the church and awakening many in the world, and as on the day of Pentecost and the days following, that there might be those added to the church daily, such as should be saved. We pray that there might come a time, as on the day of Pentecost, when many heard the word, many were pricked by the word, made like little children to ask what they must do, told plainly to repent, to be baptized in thy name, Lord Jesus, for the remission of sins, with the promise they would receive the Holy Ghost, and the same promise for their children, for the next generation. And we pray, Father, that we might rightly repent, and we might teach our children to repent, and to be baptized in thy name, Lord Jesus, as those were on the day of Pentecost, and as we can read from the pen of Luke, that those that gladly received the word were baptized. And we pray that we might see more of that today, that there might be many that will die with thee, Lord Jesus, and rise to newness of life, that there might be that in our nation, that there might be that, first of all, in the church being revived, believing it as we should, coming back to our beginnings and remembering it, as Paul could say to the church at Rome, shall we send that grace may abound? And he brings in thy name, Father, that thou would forbid it. And then knowing as many as were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, that they were buried with thee, Lord Jesus, and then rise to newness of life because of thy resurrection. And as we read here to these Colossians, that thou, Lord Jesus, art in them the hope of glory. And we pray that we might see that, we might be born of the Spirit, that we are able to see it, and that we might see, Father, that thy kingdom is all in Christ, that it is all through him, because of him and him alone, that he is the one who has paid for it, he is the one who is the door. And we pray that in the church we might realize it more fully, more wonderfully, to thy glory, and to give thee praise. We also give thanks, Father, for the temporal blessings that we have so abundantly when others do not, both in our own nation and throughout the world. Many are suffering with flood and famine and drought and wind and fire. We think of those that are homeless in the war-torn lands. We pray, Father, for thy mercy in every nation, and especially that every nation might have the gospel. We pray particularly for those who are suffering for thy name's sake and are persecuted because of thee, Lord Jesus. We pray for those that are in sickness and injury, that thou wilt give healing, give them faith to look to thee for that blessing, also to learn of thee through their afflictions, the peaceable fruits of righteousness. We pray for our homes and the needs, especially the broken homes, the children in those homes, all of this, Father, through Christ, in whose name we give thanks. Amen. As we look at this letter once again to this church at Colossae, which, as it was written to them, we may believe that they believed it. They believed what Paul was writing to them. And though we might be in a different city, we might be in a different time, what is true for them is basically true for us. The church is made up of sinners. As one preacher of the past stated, God chooses his children out of Satan's family. That's basically shown plainly in Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. And here he tells them their past as well as their present. Their past is, verse 13 that we read last week, who delivered us from the power of darkness. That's where he found us. We were bound. And again, when we think of the Ephesians, they had the spirit of disobedience. Here it is called the power of darkness. Satan is the prince of darkness. We are under his domain. Christ stated plainly to some who would not hear his full word when he told them, if you continue in the word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They said, we are never in bondage. They didn't think they were ever in darkness. They didn't think, as Paul stated further, where we began to read today, verse 21, and you were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Some would say, well, that's for the Gentile church. That's where, when God begins at a strange place or a new church, but not true after we've once been established. Is that true? Weren't the Jews established? Weren't those Christ spoke to and recorded in Matthew 24 established generation after generation? Didn't they say from generation to generation that we have Abraham to our father? That wasn't a new church. And Christ said over and over, numerous times in that chapter, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Yes, hypocrites are in the church, not outside. Thinking one thing and being another. Sometimes saying one thing and doing another. And if we sing even the song that John Newton wrote, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Did God save a wretch when you had your beginning? Did you know the day when you recognized, I'm a wretch before God? I'm a wretch along with all others? Paul could say himself, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He didn't say that when he was beginning to seek the Lord. He said that later in his life, writing to Timothy. And here he is telling these people of their past. He does the same to others as well, some more, some less, some writing of their present time and some writing of their past time. When we think of the church at Rome, he asked the question after he had written quite a bit to them in the first two chapters and in the third chapter. He asked the question, are we better than they? And his answer is, in no wise. We have together become unprofitable. And then he lists all the sins there in that third chapter till he finally sums it up and states, there is no fear of God before their eyes. And then we have throughout Scripture, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If there's no fear of God before our eyes, then there's something different, something new. When we begin to have the fear of God, and that's not the cringing fear, it is the reverential fear, the honoring of God, the fear that we're not heeding His word rightly, even have the fear that we may not be hearing it rightly. We have so many different churches, not only, we have so many different confessions, man-written confessions that supposedly teach that this is the summary of the Bible on this or that doctrine, and some of them totally different. Totally different. Works in grace. Totally different on baptism. Totally different on the second coming, which may not be as serious because that's not something that we can do to make it to be done. Totally in God's hand. But there are other things that we are not only called to believe, but to do. And these people, after they had this deliverance from darkness, and were brought into the marvelous light of Christ, translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, as we read it in verse 13, and then as we read in verse 21, and you who were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. God reconciled His enemy at Colossae. God reconciled His enemy when He stopped me and saved me. I was an enemy to the truth. And it takes the Spirit to truly open our eyes to see it. And sadly, we can even quickly forget it. Listen to what Paul said to the church at Rome, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Before God comes with a new birth, before He comes with adoption, making us His children, before He comes pardoning our sin, we are at enmity. And certainly we're proving it in our nation today. We're proving it in the church. We're proving it in the home. Half the homes are enmity. One against another. Husband against wife. Not all equally serious, but too serious. Terribly serious. I've seen some. It's awful. It's a disgrace. Christians, so-called, going to the court, and what they say before the judge of their ones that they promised to hold dear to the end of their life, till death would them part. They're liars. And many of them, not a scriptural reason at all, if there even is one. What God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And half of our homes have disobeyed, even though God says in the Old Testament He hates putting away. And when we think of the enmity that is there in the political parties, we think of the enmity that has been there in the church through the ages. Go back to the Reformation and all the deaths that took place at the hands of the churches of that time. Yes, the churches. The state and the church were one. And those churches at that time wanted it to be that way. And they would kill those that didn't think that was right and didn't follow in those ways. We have to say like Daniel. One difference between Daniel and us is he was in captivity because of the sin of Judah. We have as much sin as Judah did. But we haven't gone to death in captivity as they did at that time. When Daniel was carried away, Jerusalem stood for a time, but after a number of years, the city was demolished. The houses burnt, the temple burnt, the walls broke down, the people killed or carried away. Those people, the children of Abraham, those the most privileged, those, the circumcised ones, those that Paul could ask when he wrote to the church at Rome, What profit then hath the Jew? What profit in circumcision? Much every way. To them were given the oracles of God. Christ, when he was here on earth, said to those in his audience, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. He said, if you believed Moses, you would believe in me, for he spake of me. They had that blessing. And so do you and I, if you're in the church. If you were born in the realm of the church, you had the blessing of God's word. In our last generations, we've had it much more than if we go back in history, before the printing press, before the time of the Reformation. It was only handwritten copies. We have the Bibles just all over, and we have the privilege to have them. We have the freedom to have them. The only bondage is your and my sin. Christ said, everyone that sins is in bondage. Just like smoking can put a body in bondage, sin puts our soul in bondage, our spirit in bondage, even our mind in bondage. It blinds it. And we have to recognize that that's where we are when God finds us. And if we don't recognize it, then we don't have the privilege, the blessing, as these people did. Yet now hath he reconciled. We read in the last part of verse 22, going back again to verse 13, have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Were you born in one kingdom and then translated into another kingdom? Like Christ said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And a little further, Christ said, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. It's a spiritual kingdom. It's a kingdom totally by faith. And faith that we are sinners, as God said, we believe him. Faith that we're helpless, hopeless without him. But he is the Savior. God did this. Again, listen. He hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us in the kingdom of his dear Son. Some people say, oh, I did this. I'm so glad I did this. I'm glad God did it. Because what I did made me proud, made me foolish, made me more wicked. Like Christ said, you take seven other spirits worse than the first. And as Christ said to those that compass land and sea to make one proselyte, you make them twofold more the child of hell. The danger in the church is that we have enough of God's word to make us proud. We think we did it. One thing I learned when God was teaching me, I'm nothing but a sinner that can do nothing but sin. And now, 59 years later, it's still true. I don't have to say I was mistaken back then. And it'll still be true today. God would do with me like he did with Hezekiah. He left him to try all that was in his heart. What was left? Pride. Even Josiah, the good king, trembled at the word, rent his clothes, said, great is the wrath of God upon us. And yet when the neighboring king came along, he wanted to go out and fight, and he did, and he died. Solomon, the wisest of all men, his wives led him astray. All of us can sin. Peter said, though all men will deny thee, I will never do it. And he did so terribly the night before Christ died. God says with purpose, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. But the worst thing is, if we never knew our bondage, if we never knew our enmity, if we never knew we were separate from God, people are told, born in the church, oh, you're God's child. You're born there. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I've said it before in our radio message, but when I asked a man once, are you born again? His answer was a question. And asking, if I was of a certain denomination, different than his own. He knew they taught it, but evidently his own didn't teach that. It was strange language to him. And that's a sad thing. We have one church teaching this, another church teaching that, another church teaching that. And like the blind man and the elephants, one said the elephant is like this because he stood by the leg. Another says the elephant is like this because he had the tail. Another said the elephant is like this because he had the tusk. Thought the whole elephant was like that, blind to the rest of what that animal was. And we're blind to who God is until he opens our eyes. I was blind, choosing to be. Willful enmity. Alienated enemies in your mind by wicked works, proud works, selfish works. And as I said, that's 59 years ago. Today we have come closer and more into what God said through the pen of Paul to Timothy. In the last days there will be perilous times, and those perilous times have increased rapidly. What we used to be ashamed of, today we call Pride Day. We put the wicked pictures all over the paper, all over the television. I remember a number of years ago, my wife had surgery, and I was in the hospital overnight and walked from her room to the room where people could wait. And the television was on there, and the wicked portrayal, man with man. Man with man, over and over. God talks about the seriousness of it. And he says the end of it is death. Our county has a high death rate because we have high numbers of those that disobey God's word. I was thinking of a letter I got in the mail of wanting something, advertising something, and supposedly they were going to get something free. And like sometimes the saying is, no free lunch. I thought, well, the person is already working to getting something free. But the outcome will be in the end, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And our nation is increasing in corruption, every sphere of it. Schools, homes, government, and the church with it. He that soweth to the Spirit reap life everlasting, and has its beginning here now in Christ. Listen again, which is Christ in you. In you must be in you. He must be received. He must be given. Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, the perfect one, the Son of God.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.